The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko. In the headlines, Cote d'Ivoire decorates President Mahama and wife Lodina with national awards. Ministry of Finance refutes publications in media on proposed taxation on pensions. Dead bodies of June 3 disaster victims still unclaimed, and two Somali MPs killed following attack on hotel. Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire have signed an agreement to renovate the bridge between Noy in Cote d'Ivoire and Libo in the Western Region. The bridge, which links the two countries, facilitates trade. President John Mahama and his Ivorian counterpart Alassane Ouattara witnessed the signing ceremony after the two had early on sat in a closed-door meeting at the presidential palace. At a joint news conference, the two leaders said they discussed opportunities for mutual
law so that they could have
for hosting refugees from Cote d'Ivoire when election conflicts broke out in that country. He said his government is working to ensure that refugees return to Cote d'Ivoire as there is relative peace. He spoke through an interpreter.
We've been having good trade exchange between Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire at about 300 billion CFFs in 2015. However, we need to increase and further diversify our trade exchange between both countries, especially as regards cocoa, which both countries are leading producers globally.
President John Mahama said relations between the two countries will be stepped up towards trade promotion to give meaning to the regional integration drive. He said he and President Ouattara will, at the next AU summit, push for the Lagos-Abidjan corridor project to take off. President Mahama said Ghana is encouraged by the 9% growth rate of Cote d'Ivoire and hopes to walk in its strides. The president thanked Cote d'Ivoire for its assistance in the energy sector.
We want to thank you for the cooperation we have in energy. Ghana has been going through an energy crisis, and Cote d'Ivoire, like a true brother, has always been there when we have had challenges. We have sent our power minister here several times, and at any time that he has come to request some additional power for Ghana, you have been very generous to be able to do that. I believe that working together in the energy sector, we can both build energy security for our people. Ghana is anxious for us to extend the gas pipeline to Cote d'Ivoire so that any excess gas that we have, we can transfer to Cote d'Ivoire to increase power generation in this country. And so we'll continue to work bilaterally on this issue. As President Ouattara said, we have continued to discuss our maritime issues like amicably between brothers, and I believe that we should find, you know, a solution that is equitable and acceptable to all of us. With regards to the EPA, Economic Partnership Agreement, both our countries have interim economic partnership agreements with the European Union. We had hoped that we should be able to negotiate an ECOWAS-wide EPA, but unfortunately, due to the non-signature of the EPA by Nigeria and Gambia, it's obvious that Cote d'Ivoire and Ghana have to enter into some transitional arrangements in order that our economies do not suffer. But even in those circumstances, we will continue to work hard so that the whole sub-region can have a partnership agreement so that we are able to advance our integration.
President Mahama pledged Ghana's support to Cote d'Ivoire's bid to serve as an observer on the UN Security Council. Meanwhile, President John Mahama was last night decorated with Cote d'Ivoire's highest national award, the Grand Cross, at a state banquet in his honor in Abidjan. First Lady Lodina Mahama was also conferred with the honor of Commander of the Order of the Nation. Early on, President Mahama had received an honorary citizenship of Cote d'Ivoire and was symbolically presented with a key which gives him the privilege to move freely in that country. Cote d'Ivoire's President Alassane Ouattara, who did President Mahama the honors, said he sees him as a brother rather than a colleague head of state. Also, the award was to appreciate Ghana's contribution to peace and stability in Cote d'Ivoire. President Mahama dedicated the award to the people of Ghana. Pascalina Adadevoh has sent this report.
Barely 2 months ago, President Mahama received an honorary doctorate award from the University of Aberdeen in the United Kingdom. In his acceptance speech, he dedicated the award to the people of Ghana because he believes the feat is a collective one. He did the same with the Ivorian highest national award, the Grand Cross. He dedicated that also to Ghanaians. Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire no doubt have strong historical ties, which have improved with time. President Mahama was pleased to receive the award and described it as a lasting symbol of friendship.
It is a manifestation of how deep our relations have grown, and such exchanges can only inure to the mutual benefit of our two people. Your Excellency, in our discussions, we have outlined a broad number of issues that should cement our friendship and cooperation in a way that reflects the opportunities and challenges of our times. I look forward to the convening of the 10th session of the Ghana-Cote d'Ivoire Permanent Joint Commission for Cooperation and the eventual signing of new agreements to reflect these developments when you take your turn to visit us in Ghana. I'm particularly pleased that our economies and the business climate have improved significantly, making Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire the main economic drivers of the West African sub-region.
On terrorism, President Mahama said Ghana stands in solidarity with Cote d'Ivoire in the fight. He said an attack on any member state is an attack on all, but this calls for collaboration between the security agencies.
Ghana is making strides, and I'm confident that and certain that under your upright and inspiring leadership, Cote d'Ivoire will continue to realize its dreams and reach its goals of prosperity and dignity. Through that exemplary leadership, you've successfully steered Cote d'Ivoire out of conflict that threatened its very existence only 6 years ago, and you've helped transform the economy into one of the best performing economies in Africa. Recent terrorist attacks in our sub-region and elsewhere, culminating in the tragic loss of innocent lives and properties, are a stark and constant reminder of our shared threats and risks. And that is why Ghana stands in solidarity with Cote d'Ivoire following the terrorist attacks that occurred in Grand Bassam.
President Mahama shared a joke which almost every Ghanaian football fan can relate to.
We have a friendly rivalry, and when our two teams meet, it is always like the final of the World Cup. I confess that after we lost the final in Equatorial Guinea in Malabo, I could not eat my food for 2 days. But on the third day, I recovered sufficiently to be able to write a letter to my elder brother congratulating the Ivorian national team for their victory. I received this honor, and I dedicate it entirely to the hardworking people of my country.
Early on, there was a similar ceremony to confer an honorary citizenship on President Mahama. His Ivorian counterpart, Alassane Ouattara, presented him with a key, which symbolically gives him entrance into Cote d'Ivoire at his leisure. President Ouattara shared a few thoughts through an interpreter.
I also want to express satisfaction for the informal institutional reforms that you have instituted in your country that has helped Ghana to achieve a lot of advancement that everybody should be proud of. I also want to say that so far as policies and politics are concerned, which has helped in deepening democracy in your country, which also contributed in giving a very positive image to your country, not only for Ghana, but for Africa as a whole.
President Mahama had discussions with President Ouattara, bordering on boosting economic relations and the need to lead the regional integration process.
Pascalina Adadevoh's report. The Ministry of Finance says its attention has been drawn to publications in sections of the media concerning taxation of pensions. Unfortunately, the publications have misrepresented the comments of the sector minister. The statement in Accra said the minister at no point in his presentation said Income Tax Act 2015 Act 896 imposes a tax on pensions or that there is an intention to tax. It noted that reference to the pension income in the minister's delivery was to explain the philosophy of taxation of pension adopted generally in literature and in countries that tax pensions. The statement said pensions are not taxable in Ghana, adding that Article 199(3) of the Constitution exempts pensions from tax. However, under Section 1125 of the National Pensions Act 2008, where voluntary contributions are made to a pension fund and withdrawal from the fund is made before one goes on pension. The amount will be taxed appropriately. The contribution is not open to 10 years for those in the formal sector and 5 years for those in the informal sector. Furthermore, Section 112, subsection 5 of Act 766 provides that a withdrawal of all or part of a contributor's accrued benefits under a Providence Fund or personal pension scheme on or after retirement shall be exempt from tax. Meanwhile, there have been mixed reactions since the publication of the alleged statement. Deputy Finance Minister Mona Kwarteh on Behind the News explained what the sector minister said.
I think that there's been a number of misrepresentations. We need to start from the point of view of defining income. If, for example, you work at a place and part of your package, and we usually refer to it as a package as if it's not income, part of your package is to have a house, a car, dressing allowances so that you can buy clothes. Yes, all those things are to enable you to do your work. But those things are also for your comfort, and they form part of your income package. Therefore, all that together, the actual base salary and the allowances that you get, which form your income, come under the Income Tax Act. And therefore, you pay your income tax on it. Now, your income tax, of course, as we all know, depends on how much you earn. We have different tax brackets. What we have in Ghana is a progressive tax. Therefore, the more you earn, the more tax you pay. And that is just in fairness to those who don't earn that much. At a time like this in our nation's growth, when we need all the revenue, we need to look at some of these things and address them head on.
Was there wide consultation done before this initiative was actually rolled on?
There was wide enough consultation done. You know, we don't have a huge number of people in our tax net. So the stakeholders within those tax nets were consulted, and they all gave their comments. Whether they were in agreement or not, they made their comments.
There are rumors also about taxes on pension benefits. Can you confirm this?
I heard it on radio and I was very surprised. I want to start my submission by stating categorically that pensions are not taxable in Ghana.
Deputy Finance Minister Mona Kwarteh. Parliament has amidst a heated debate approved a $2 billion trade finance facility between the Ghana Cocoa Board and a consortium of banks and financial institutions. Presenting the report of the Finance Committee for the approval of the loan, the chairman of the committee, James Aveji, said the trade facility is to enable Cocoa Board to raise adequate funds to purchase cocoa beans from farmers through licensed buying companies for the 2016-2017 crop season. He explained that sourcing of the facility also provides the nation the opportunity to demonstrate its good track record in borrowing from the international financial market. The House also approved a stamp duty waiver amounting to $10 million on the financial facility. Here's more from our parliamentary correspondents, Dominic Homoji and Augustus Akwe.
The government of Ghana is to provide guarantee for the $2 billion facility. The arrangement involves a consortium of several international and local banks and financial institutions in arranging the credit facility to purchase an estimated 900,000 metric tons of cocoa beans for the 2016-2017 crop season. The chairman of the Finance Committee, James Aveji, spells out the terms of the facility.
The indicative terms of the facility are followed. The lenders here are the Deutsche Bank, Natixis Net Bank Limited of South Africa, Standard Chartered Bank, Societe Generale SG, the Bank of Tokyo, Mitsubishi, and DZ Bank as co-arranger. The interest margin is LIBOR plus 0.675%. The commitment fee is 35% on interest margin. The flat fee, which is a participating and arrangement fee, is 0.725%. The legal costs and other expenses amounted to $66,000. Security margin is assignment of cocoa contract for 110% of the facility amount. Underwriting level here is fully underwritten. Estimated cost, including legal fees, is 35,721,416 $1.67 in view of the significant contribution of the cocoa industry to the economic development of Ghana and the need to secure a financial facility to ensure a continued cocoa purchase in the country. The committee, after a careful examination of the request, recommends to the House to adopt its report and approve a resolution.
The ranking member of the Finance Committee, Dr. Anthony Akutuo, say, touched on the utilization of last year's facility by the Cocoa Board.
The use to which last year's funds were put. As we got, if you look at it, on the industry cost, 304 million per cedis goes to the Cocoa Disease and Pest Control Program. Another 380 million cedis goes to the high-tech fertilizer budget program. And then a whopping 570 million goes to roads. We need to start asking some questions. If we are borrowing money to do cocoa roads, and for how long? Yes, if the roads are needed to cut the cocoa, I don't have a problem. But how many of such roads are we going to do, and for how long? That is the question Parliament must address this morning.
MP for Tamale South, Haruna Idris, also associated himself with the motion on the facility.
The investment of the road-related infrastructure to support the cocoa sector itself is to facilitate increasing and allowing for the ease of the cutting of the cocoa beans to designated places. Mr. Speaker, the other important issue is that these are selected cocoa roads in cocoa growing areas. It is an investment which itself will ease and facilitate the cutting of cocoa.
The MP for Subin and former boss of Cocoa Board, Isaac Osei, was not enthused about spending money from Cocoa Board on roads.
We know that if cocoa production is to increase in our country, then we definitely have to look at the aging tree. It would appear on the face of it that the 154 million which we are going to use this year for replanting, you know, it's not just for replanting, but it's for exciting those who have been affected by the pollen soot disease also. And I think it is important that we look at some of these figures with a view to realigning them. For example, the Farmers' World Scholarship Scheme, which is cut for the present year at 5 billion. Certainly, it would do no harm if this figure, for example, were doubled by reducing what has been allocated to roads.
That was the MP for Subin, Isaac Osei, ending that report by Dominic Honoji and Augustus Akoi from Parliament. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Cote d'Ivoire decorates President Mahama and wife, Lordina, with national awards. Ministry of Finance refutes publications in media on proposed taxation of pensions. Dead bodies of June 3 disaster victims still unclaimed, and two Somali MPs killed following attack on hotel. Please stay with us.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news continues. The Accra Metropolitan Assembly has appealed to families who cannot trace any of their members following last year's June 3 disaster to come forward and help identify the numerous dead bodies at the morgues. The chief executive of the assembly, Alfred Vanderpoy, who said this at a news conference in Accra to outline activities to commemorate the first anniversary of the disaster, noted that some bodies have been left at the morgues unclaimed. He said government is committed to support the victims and survivors of the disaster. Therefore, families who cannot trace their relatives should be bold and come to identify the dead bodies in order to put a closure to the event and give the unfortunate victims a befitting burial.
The Accra Metropolitan Assembly, through the help of government, has already given 10,000 Ghana cedis each to 81 family members who lost their relatives in the June 3 disaster. Also, 15 survivors have each received 10,000 cedis from the AME. According to the AMA Chief Executive Alfred Okovandapoy, the Assembly has put in place drastic measures to ensure that the June 3 disaster never occurs in Accra again. These measures include the desalting of the Kole Lagoon and outdoor drains to enable it taking more storm water. Three dredging machines are currently on location desalting the drains. On sanitation, Mr. Vanderpoy said though the Assembly hasn't yet achieved 100% collection of waste yet, it is working to make sure sanitation problems in the capital become a thing of the past.
We must take the fear out of the rain. We must take the emergencies out of the rain. We must clear the disaster, the removal of any and everything that has blocked the waterway, we have to work hard and to take it out. We have to excavate the silt and dredge. We have to bring in three dredges onto the odor and we call it to dredge it and to desilt it. Continue that exercise so that whenever it rains, never again should we have the experiences of June 3rd.
Mr. Vanderpoel also outlined activities to commemorate the first anniversary.
On June 3rd, that is coming Friday, from 9 to 10 a.m., there will be a non-denominational service at the N.M. Bruce Methodist Church at the back. At 10 a.m., there will be red lane ceremony at the Guel service station. And then at 1 p.m., we'll begin a nationwide memorial service. That will be at the National Central Mosque, also with the support of all mosques over the country. On Saturday, we will continue the nationwide memorial service with the Seventh-day Adventist Church services nationwide at 10 a.m. on Saturday, 4th June.
The chief executive of the National Petroleum Authority, Moses Asaga, said measures have been taken to tighten the safety and integrity of fuel stations in the country. It has also committed the MPSM's anniversary funds towards the commemoration of the first anniversary of the disaster.
To solidarize with the situation that happened on June 3rd, the National Petroleum Authority has committed approximately 1 million cedis to refurbish the dams unit in Kodego, so that into the future, from this dead bank, at least we'll get a place for treatment.
There will be a nationwide church service on Sunday to climax the commemoration of the first anniversary.
Antoinette Aba reporting. The Greater Accra Regional Minister, Nidlayi Afute-Agbo, says he will be paying constant and announced visits to the district assemblies to assess their scope of work. This is because projects, and most of them have stalled or delayed. The assemblies have also started new projects instead of continuing the old ones. The minister said this at a regional coordinating council meeting in Accra. Yvonne Atilego has found this report.
Given a breakdown of projects executed in the region, Mr. Afute-Agbo said challenges such as delay in the release of funds, gap between plans and implementation, and inadequate revenue generation are some of the factors contributing to the delay of projects. Out of 858 projects in the region, 492, representing 57.3%, have been completed. 266, representing 31%, is ongoing. 94, representing 11%, have stalled or delayed. And 6 projects, representing 0.7%, have been abandoned. Mr. Afute-Agbo says those MMDAs have been faced with challenges. It is wrong for them to execute new projects when old ones have not been completed.
In the next few weeks ahead, I will be visiting all of you in your various districts to interact with you and to create the opportunity for the citizenry to hold all of us accountable for our stewardship for the period we have administered our various districts. We are aware that a number of projects that started some few years ago are still not completed. Instead of taking steps to see to their completion, new projects are rather started.
That was the Greater Accra Regional Minister, Nidlayi Afute-Agbo, in that report by Yvonne Atilego. The Ghana Traditional Council will this afternoon perform rites at Igbese Bloom in Accra to signify the lifting of the month-long ban on drumming and noise-making in Gamashi. The ban is placed each year to enable the spiritual leaders to pray for a bountiful harvest leading to the celebration of Homowo. Supreme Court Judge Justice William Atuguba has charged legal practitioners to discharge their responsibilities with the highest standard of professionalism and abide by the ethical rules of the profession. Speaking at the opening of a 4-day training on legal ethics for selected university law students in Accra, Justice Atuguba said the training will acquaint the students with the main principles and rules governing the legal practice. This is said will rid institutions of corrupt legal practitioners. A report by Yvonne Asariofei.
Justice Atsuguba said the training is being held at the right time, since some lawyers have fallen short of what is expected and required of them. According to him, it is a practical training which does not examine moral grounds of professional ethics, but illustrates how the ethical rules are implemented in commercial law practice in Ghana.
With the legal ethical rules that the banks obey, they bring institutions into disrepute, undermine the credibility of our democracy and the trust that the good people of Ghana have put in us, the legal fraternity. Failure to comply with higher standards of professional conduct has devastating consequences for the individuals involved in the breach of ethical rules as well. Following the legal ethical rules of our profession is the right thing to do for us all, judges, lawyers, prosecutors, law students. It is the right thing to do for society and for the benefit of the peoples of Ghana and our country overall. Complying with the ethical rules is our fundamental obligation as lawyers. We lawyers, in the different roles that we play in the legal system, have been given the great and sacred task of administering the law, of deciding where to draw the boundaries between right and wrong, of deciding disputes, of interpreting and drafting rules that regulate the most important aspects of our lives.
Supreme Court Judge Justice William Atuguba in that report by Yvonne Asariofei. Members of the lower bench of the Judicial Service are calling for the withdrawal of a letter purportedly approving their new conditions of service. The members are kicking against the said conditions of service with an approval letter issued by the Chief of Staff. This development comes in the wake of a strike by staff of the Judicial Service, according to the representative of the Circuit Court Judges and Magistrates. Abwajitando, under the newly approved conditions of service, their salaries and emoluments have been slashed. He said they have been treated unfairly because there were no consultations before the decision was taken by government. Mr. Abwajitando said members of the lower bench already have conditions of service approved in March 2012 during the tenure of former President Atta Mills. We therefore see no reason for the reform. Meanwhile, government says there is no reason for members of the lower bench to call for the withdrawal of a letter purportedly approving their new conditions of service. This is because their supposed conditions of service is not a finalized document. Deputy Minister for Employment and Labour Relations, Baba Jamal, told Radio Ghana that government is open to negotiations with the lower bench on the matter. Now, news from elsewhere, about 10 people were killed and more than 15 others wounded when militants attacked a major hotel in Somalia's capital, Mogadishu, yesterday. Somali lawmaker Mohamed Umar Shurie said two parliamentarians were killed during the attack, while a third lawmaker was injured. One of the lawmakers at the hotel who survived the attack said he was shocked by the huge explosion. About 5 people died yesterday in floods across France and Germany. Authorities say search teams in the Bavarian town of Simbach found the bodies of 3 people who had been trapped in a house and a woman found dead by a nearby stream. In central France, an 86-year-old woman lost her life. Dozens of towns have been inundated and people have been saved by helicopter flights. Forecasters say the waters are expected to keep rising for several days. Now to end the news, the main points again. President Mahama has been honored by Cote d'Ivoire's President Alassane Ouattara with the highest national award of that country. Ghana's First Lady Lordina Mahama was also conferred with the honor of the Commander of the Order of the Nation. And the Finance Ministry has refuted publications in the media on proposed taxation of pensioners. A statement by the ministry said the reference to the pension income by the minister was to explain the philosophy of taxation of pension adopted generally in literature and in countries that tax pension.